to the Singled Out Podcast with
Becky,
Brenda,
and Maria.
Three single gals living it up in the Midwest. We will tackle raw, real-life topics that people face no matter what stage of life we're in. Our goal is to inspire you to strengthen relationships and build community so you can live your best life now. Welcome back to the Singled Out Podcast. This is episode 17. In this episode, our friend Monica joins us to talk about communication. Monica is a single mom, blogger, and involved in a local singles mom ministry. Listen in as we discuss the importance of communication for any relationship.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys for having me here.
We have our new friend Monica with us today. She's awesome and has lots of life and life experience. And
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Monica. I feel like I don't know where to look. It's so weird.
I was talking about how we should like make this a little person.
I want to like look here, but I feel
weird.
Put
Google eyes right there.
So I'm Monica. I like to say that I'm like girly girl boy mom. So I'm a single mom of two boys, a 4-year-old and an almost 6-year-old. So I've been blogging and journaling, online journaling, for about 10 years. I blogged the first time I was single, and through that process and getting engaged, getting married, having my married life, and then having my children, and then going through separation and divorce. And then I'm in the middle of launching a podcast as well. So yeah, I'm really involved in a single mom's ministry here in the Midwest, and then involved in my church and stuff like that. So yeah, this is my second time being single, so it's very, very different than the first time. I'm a completely different person than I was back then. Obviously, it was like 20 and dreams and like not knowing anything about life, and now I'm 32 and with two kids, and I'm not from here. I'm from Northern California, so I moved here with my ex-husband and his family. So completely don't know anything about, well, I've been here now for like 6 years, but not originally from here. So yeah, learning what it was like to be single and walking through singleness again with kids and in a place where I didn't know a lot of people. So yeah, a little bit about me.
Yeah. Well, it's really good to have you. We're going to be talking a little bit about communication, and you'll have to forgive us. We are in a public place, so if you hear random noises, we apologize.
Random conversations with other people. It's
So, you know, it's just a little atmosphere.
It's an ambiance.
A little ambiance. A little ambiance. So we're talking about communication in general, in relationships, but really any relationship with guys, with friends, with whatever that means. But my first question is, what does good communication look like to you? When you hear the word communication, what is that?
Yeah,
That's
a great question. I don't know. Communication to me is just a lot of transparency. I think it's important because I think a lot of times you can try to communicate with somebody, but if you're like holding back, the other person is not going to really know what you're trying to say because you are having like a guard up. So like having a guard up and stuff. So I think there needs to be a level of transparency. I think that it grows with the relationship, whatever that looks like, whether it's male, female, or friendships, or whatever it is. I think it's important that transparency is not all up front. There was a term, I don't know if I can say this, well, there's a term I learned in ministry school that says like, they would say like, emotional stripping. Like you don't want to like emotionally strip, right? Because we talk about like sexual purity and stuff like that and guarding our bodies, but we also need to do that in communication. So not just like word vomiting.
So you mean like turning, like not just totally turning off your emotions?
Just not like, you don't want to reveal everything in the beginning of it. Like emotionally stripped.
I've never heard that term.
Right? Yeah.
Emotionally stripped.
It's so funny. It's because I learned it in ministry school. I feel like it's not a ministry school like word. You wouldn't be like, oh, you shouldn't talk about stripping, but just like emotionally stripping down early on in a relationship. Yeah. Communication is very important and vital to a relationship, but you don't want to reveal yourself and reveal your heart.
Right. You want to make that person kind of earn it.
Yeah. It has to grow. So there needs to be, I think there's levels of transparency. Yeah, and then I think the other part for me that I've learned, and actually learned this in premarital counseling, is listening and telling them what you hear. So we learned this, like I said, in premarital counseling, and we would say, like, okay, what you're saying is, or what I'm hearing is, la-di-da-di-da. So repeating back to them, especially in those hard, confusing conversations. It's like, okay, I'm hearing that you don't like when I text other girls. Like, is that right? Or just, I don't know, that's a big example. But just, like, make sure that you are telling them, this is what I think that you're saying, so that we're not assuming anything. Because then that's going to create, like, a huge problem. So I think there's two sides of it, of just being open and honest, but then also you're listening to them, because it needs to be two-way. You're listening to them and saying, okay, this is what I'm hearing, and keeping that process going.
I often wonder, like, how does communication evolve from being single to getting engaged to being married?
That's good.
I mean, because when you and I were messaging, you said, I think, you know, as single people, we have, like, this fantasy of what marriage will be like, and it's completely different for when you get married. And I want more information about that as a single person. I'm like, okay, how can I learn now as a single person what to be prepared for in marriage, so I'm not, I think I'm skipping on the streets of Disney Gold, you know?
Right.
Like.
I mean, I think in general, and I think because I believe that this is the first time that I was single, was that when I got married, everything was going to be, like, magically, it's great. Like, everything was going to be great. There was going to be no problems in my marriage. There's going to be no communication problems in my marriage because I'm a wife now, and that doesn't happen. Like, that only happens when you're single or when you have a boyfriend. So, like, yeah, I think that we can live in this fantasy as a single person of, when I get married, everything is going to be fine. When I get married, I will be married, and there's no more pursuit, or there's no more figuring out how to communicate because he's my husband. And that's it. And it's not like that. It's still, I mean, like I said, I learned that tool in premarital counseling. Not in dating, not in singleness. In preparing for marriage, I need to learn how to communicate effectively to my husband, or it's going to be destruction. Like, and it's still, even though you're married, and I mean, you've seen each other fully naked in every aspect of the word, it's still not closing your heart off. It is still opening up. It is still learning what transparency looks like. And we're growing people. I mean, our seasons are going to change from being married 1 year to being married 5 years to having kids or whatever it is. And just allowing our hearts to stay open to communication is really, really important. So I think in marriage, it is just keeping communication. Like, it's just not thinking like, oh, well, he's my husband, so he should know how I feel. He should know. We've had this argument.
He'll automatically understand.
He won't. Yeah. He's not a mind reader.
Right.
He's a man. he's a man.
Don't put too much expectation
exactly.
on like, how
strip
much
off,
you should know.
Yeah, like, strip off the title. He still can't read your mind, even if you've been married for, you know, 20-something years. There's going to be hurts that happen in the marriage that you have to communicate to him. And it's important. And it's learning how to communicate in a way that is not coming off offensive, and that's really hard. Like, especially when offenses happen or arguments happen, because everybody listen up, you're gonna fight with your husband. Like, it's gonna happen. Like, I know we think, I don't know, I lived in this fantasy world when I was single of the first time of just, I'm going to get married, everything's going to be great, I'm never going to argue with my husband because he's the man that God had for me, and he's the man. I was, like, a total nerd, and, like, I mean, not a total nerd, I love that I'm like this. I'm very romantic, so I, like, wrote letters to my future husband. Like, I wrote journals. Like, I have prayer journals for him, and so I'm like, this is the man that God prepared for me. I'm not going to struggle. We're not going to fight. Like, that doesn't happen because I'm a wife now, and it's just not reality. It's just not. You're gonna fight with your husband. There's gonna be issues because we're two sinful people. And so it's just keeping transparency open and keeping communication open and coming to the conversation not offensive. And that's really, really hard because that means we have to put our pride down and humbly go to our husband and be like, you know, hey, when you throw the laundry on the ground instead of the laundry basket, I feel disrespected, or I feel it's getting to, like, root issues and communicating that out. We don't want to be the naggy. I was very much the naggy wife. Like, that's something I learned huge in my marriage, was, like, not to become, like, the nagging you know, you don't do this or we don't do this. We haven't been on a date and does that, and really communicating what we're feeling. And the first step is figuring out what we're feeling. Like, we cannot communicate effectively if we don't know what we're feeling. Yeah. Like, we're just gonna be like, oh, I don't know why this bothers me, but it bothers me. It's like, spend some time in prayer, like, spend some time journaling and figure out, like, why is it when my boyfriend goes out with his guy friends and doesn't text me for 5 hours, why does that bother me? I'm trying to think of super extremes, you know what I mean? Like, why does it bother me? Oh, because I'm feeling ignored. Oh, where does that come from? Oh, that comes from my own insecurities. And dealing with that and communicating that to them. So it evolves with each stage. It's not just like, oh, I'm married and now I don't need to work on communication. You're still going to have to work on it. Especially then you have kids and you're sleep deprived and you can't even form sentences. You're like, tired, sleep, bottle, diaper, you know? So it's still evolving, that communication. And I'm a huge advocate for premarital counseling, marriage counseling. Like, it's all about prevention, and the biggest things they teach there is communicating. Like, learning to communicate effectively to each other. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just like,
I mean, I think if you're, like, even from the same country or the same culture, you still have different family culture backgrounds. So, like, I saw that with my parents. They had, like, one extreme of communicating and the other not communicating.
Right.
And so when you come together, you don't have the right tools or the same tools to to work together in a marriage. So
Yeah. And it's really figuring out how you communicate. You know, like, I hate confrontation. I'm an Enneagram 9, so I avoid it. So that means I'm going to avoid conversing with anybody, friendships, like, all around. So I know this about myself. So it's like, I'm not going to use it as an excuse. I'm going to have to work just a little bit harder than somebody who doesn't care about confrontation. Because they're going to be like, hey, that really bothered me when this and this happened. And I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, it's okay. I'm just going to hide over here. You know? So it's like, it's really, it's communication is like two people. But it really is a lot of us. Like, we have to figure out how we communicate. We need to figure out what we feel so we can communicate so things don't get blurred. Because if we don't know, we're just going to be like, I'm just mad. It's like, but why? I don't know. I just feel mad. Okay, well, figure out why you're mad and then, like, let's talk through it.
From being single to going to being in a relationship, I think it's different because you're only like, when you're single, you're like, you only have to worry about what your plans are and what your thoughts and what you want to do. And so when you come together with another person, you're like, oh, I have to remember that I have to run this by this person, or I have to communicate this, because you're just not used to, especially being single for a long period of time.
Right.
You're just so used to doing your own thing.
Right.
So bring that, learning how to communicate with someone else, saying,
I have to get used to that.
Hey, what do you think about this? Or how about, what if I want to go to the store and just buy something?
You
have to, like, there's another person that I have to consult with.
Right, because it's respect. It's not like, oh, I need to ask for permission. It's it's really just like about respect and communicating whatever, whether it is like, oh, I'm going to go to the store, or like, hey, let's set up a date, or, you know,
I want to go hang out with this person.
It has to be, oh my gosh, I don't even know what that looks like going from single to dating and having to, like, communicate. Because then you're communicating of just getting to know them. I mean, that's how else you're going to get to know somebody without talking.
Right.
Like, you're gonna be talking, and then there's, like, texting, which is, like,
that's a whole nother beast right there.
Yeah, like, it's
the what are the dangers of texting? Maybe we should have a little section about
that.
It's so hard. So, like, you can't read any tone. It's so hard. I could be like, okay, cool, have a good day. And they'll read it like, okay, cool, have a good day. I'm like, that's not how I said it. Like, I try to avoid, like.
That's why I speak in emoji.
You have to add the smiley face, then they'll know.
They're like, oh, okay.
It's so hard. And, like, just trying to avoid serious conversations in text is, like, key. But I can't, like, it's very hard for me because my time is limited on my phone. Like, just because I'm at work, like, I work in an office setting, so I can't be, like, talking on my phone. And then, like, I have kids, And so they're loud. So it's hard to, like, get on the phone and be like, let me have a serious conversation. So it's, like, at 9 p.m., like, okay, can we talk about what we were texting at 10 a.m. about? Like, so sometimes I'm really bad at, like, texting serious conversations. Yeah. I actually, like, just recently, I won't say broke up, but, like, decided to no longer continue with the guy, and I did it over text. Which is, like... so bad. It's so bad.
At least you said something.
I know. I was like,
you didn't ghost him.
Oh my gosh. I can't even start on that. Talk about not communicating. I hate ghosting so much. I just text a guy. I'm going to sound like a huge dater. I don't date that much, guys. This other guy I was talking to ghosted me, like, for real. And we, like, went out. Like, we went out, planned for a second time to hang out, and then he, like, just ghosted me, like, for real. So I, like, text him, and I was just like, hey, like, I believe in, like, respect, and, like, in dating, this is part of communication, like, in dating, there's gonna be really uncomfortable and, like, not fun conversations, but you need to have them, because I'm not just a picture on a screen, like, I'm a person, and you need to show respect. Just say, like, hey, I met somebody else, or, like, hey, I'm really not interested, or whatever it is, I don't care. You're ugly. I don't care what you say. Just say something, because I feel like it's a total lack of respect.
It is.
And, like, it makes already a passive generation of men even more passive. Because now it's like, I don't even have to break up, or I don't even have to say anything or make an excuse. I'll just not communicate. And it's like,
I really just want to say, grow a pair and tell me.
Yeah, well, that's basically what I said. And then I told him, like, don't even respond. Like,
did
don't
respond?
No, because I told him not to. I was like, don't respond now. You've made it crystal clear, like, how you feel. But just be more. I said, do better. That's what I said. I was like, listen, for all the women who you're going to date, just do better. Like, do better. Yeah. Leave them better than you showed up with them. I don't think that dating in general needs to be a pass or fail. It does not have to be pass, I have a boyfriend, fail, he ghosted me. Like, it doesn't have to be like that. It can be like, oh, I learned this about myself. I learned this about what I want in a relationship, what I like, what I don't like, what pursuing looks like, that there's good men out there, good Christian men.
I still need to learn that.
So I have a question about establishing healthy boundaries.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm learning boundaries right now, because I feel like previously I did not have great boundaries. And I have lots of different boundaries that I need to have, since I have an ex-husband as well. So there's him that I need to communicate with, that I need to establish boundaries. So I think in general, boundaries are just, I don't know.
And that's okay.
No, it really is. I feel like I'm really relearning what boundaries are, because I was married, right? So there's still boundaries when you're married, but they're not as many, or they look different. So, you know, I'm going to talk to my husband a certain way, and I can talk to him that way because he's my husband. I can be fully exposed to him, and I'm going to share my deepest, darkest fears, anxieties, desires, whatever. When you're divorced and then you're trying to walk in what does a relationship look like with a man, I was married for 5 years. So my brain automatically went to, I can share my deepest, darkest desires, fears with this man. And I learned very quickly, like, this is unhealthy and I can't do that. And so I think it's just establishing what your line is, because there's boundaries in communication. Verbally, there's boundaries emotionally, like not jumping ahead. I'm really bad at jumping ahead, legit. I will meet a guy at church and I'll, like, I met my husband. I'm jumping ahead so much.
I love that meme you share, like, hey, I just met a guy, and 2 days later, never mind.
legit. So that day I posted it, I met a guy at church. He was the usher. I'm going to a new church. He was the usher. I thought he was so cute. And he sat me down in my seat, and I was like, oh yeah, she's so cute, da da da. He had a girlfriend. I was like, okay,
there was that.
So, but I think it's having emotional boundaries too, of not allowing my fantasy world to take over my reality, and establishing that, and just being aware of, I need to set up this blockage for me to not go to a place that the relationship is not there yet. Like, it'll get there eventually, hopefully, you know, but it's not there yet. And I cannot give any part of my heart to somebody who's not deserving of it yet. And right. that is walking through things. Now, I believe that you can, I think relationships can go fast. I know plenty of Christians and non-Christians who get married after knowing them for 6 months. So I don't think there's a timeline, especially when I have kids. So it's hard for me because I want to be like, oh, I don't want him to meet the kids until we're at a certain point or whatever. Like, those are boundaries for me. But I don't want to put, like, an actual calendar time stamp on anything. But it is realizing where you both are. And that comes with communication. Like, there's, a, like, do you guys, have, like, defining the relationship? Do you guys, like, talk about, like, do you guys know what that is? The DTR? Yes, girl. We got to get the DTR done. Like, we need to, I think there's importance in having the DTR conversation constantly. It needs to be like, where are you at? Where am I at? So that we're on the same page. Because I don't want to be thinking like, oh, he's so into me. And then I find out, oh, wait, he's the bachelor and he's been dating 10 other girls and I didn't even realize it. Right. You know, or I'm having a connection with him, but he's actually not. So I think it's important to make sure that you guys are both on the same page. Okay. Yeah, just keep talking about it. Oh, yeah, I'm interested in getting to know you. Okay, cool. So I'm going to have my boundary here and I'm not going to go there emotionally. I'm not going to go there spiritually. I'm not gonna, I think there's things spiritually that, like, maybe probably shouldn't happen that needs to have a boundary. Like, I wouldn't, like, pray with the boyfriend if I was, like, just dating him. Because I feel like that's a very intimate thing to do. I'll pray for a boyfriend. I pray for my invisible husband that I don't know right now. Like, I pray for him. But I think praying together can be very intimate. And so keeping that boundary until you're to a certain point. Mm-hmm. But I'm still learning it because I have not great boundaries with my ex-husband. Like,
well, that's gotta be hard from being
married,
it's vulnerable, right, and then now you're not.
And just establishing like, this is like, and not like in an inappropriate way boundaries, but just like,
you don't get to know this about me.
Yeah, I don't get to know that about you. Like, I'm not gonna know this about you. You're not gonna know this about me. And let's just keep this boundary going. So I think it's very easy to cross back into muddied lines with boundaries with anybody, with friendships, with Male friendships are confusing, and I think that needs even more boundaries, but yeah, it's hard. I think boundaries with the opposite sex of somebody, because in my mind, I don't know how you guys are, but in my brain, like, when I meet a guy, they're in two boxes. They're in the friend box,
right?
Or they're in the maybe there's more than friend box. I talk to them differently. Yeah. Like, I communicate with them differently because in the potentially more box, I'm going to ask different questions to them as I would just the friend box. I'm going to potentially open myself up more to this person who is a maybe more than the friend is. Yeah. So, like, I communicate differently to them, and it's about establishing boundaries. Because I don't want to let, like, the friend who may be like, oh, Monica's cool, and, like, I don't want anybody forming feelings for me if I'm not feeling them back, and that has boundaries, which has communication. Yeah. Like, you have to establish it, which is awkward. It's very awkward. Like, oh, hey, I'm actually not really having those same feelings for you. Like,
well, and I think it comes down to, we talk about this a lot, being intentional. And maybe I just haven't been as intentional about separating that, you know?
Yeah. And I don't know if that's healthy or not. That's just what I do. I just am like, oh, you're just your friends. Yeah. I have friends at church that it's like, they're just friends.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing else that I think about them, so I communicate with them. And I do have intimate conversations with them, and there's no fear of, like, I'm going to develop feelings or whatever. Where this guy, I might be a little bit more cautious because I don't want to give him my heart, like, too soon, so...
I think that goes hand in hand with knowing what you want and knowing what you deserve.
Oh,
so
that's good.
So you can kind of communicate those things like, hey, this is not cool. I really don't appreciate it when you, you know, could you, ...
Right. So. That's good. Yeah, because we need to know our worth, or we're going to let people talk down to us, talk trash to us.
Or just treat us however they want.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been learning a lot. Like, I tell people how to treat me. So if I'm letting somebody talk down to me, or I'm letting people not cancel dates, but like not show up for a date, and then they text me a week later. Like, if you ghost me for a week and then you text me a week later, like, I told you that was okay.
Yeah.
Because I allowed it. And because I'm going to keep talking to you. You know, it's like we have the ability and the beautiful power to tell people how to treat us. And that goes with male and female.
And it comes down to actions, too, sometimes.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not saying, hey, I don't like it when you do this, but if you do respond, then yeah. You say, oh, it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. You're saying it's okay to treat me like that. Yeah. And then it continues.
How you treat yourself shows other people how to treat you.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you're like, oh, I don't deserve you to pursue me, then guess what? They don't have to. They can go and do whatever they want to do and then show back up when, you know, the timing is okay or you know, they're bored or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you said, they ghost you and a week later... That shows me that you were just dumped by the other person you were pursuing, so now you're coming back to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I'm not going to be like a second chance or a maybe. Like, that's not that. No, I'm worth more than that. Like, no. You ghost me for a week and then come back, I'm going to be like, no. No, thank you. I'll communicate to you. I won't ghost you back, but I'm going to be like, no, thank you. I like to tell people, have an amazing life. Because, like, I mean it. Like, I want you to have an amazing life, but it's also kind of like, see ya.
Yeah.
Boy, bye.
Or at least letting him know, like, this is not okay.
Yeah. I think communication has a potential for a lot of really awkward, uncomfortable conversations. But doing this now as a single person is going to help us in marriage. Because there's going to be uncomfortable things in marriage. And we practice this now. Like, we have to practice it now as a single person when there's not somebody else's feelings completely involved.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Come socialize with us on Facebook and Instagram, or email us at thesingle.podcast@gmail.com. Until next time, friends, get out there and live your best life now.
All the noises.
Thank you.
Tell us what you can hear in the background.
I know. Yeah. I feel like a trivia. They're back to being the windows.
We're back to being the windows.
We don't even know what's happening. Is it like dusting, I guess?
Oh my god.